Ways, as we go into 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're talking about passing the baton. As you know, we have an Awana Club here, and in my back pocket I have a baton from the Awana Club. And these batons are used in circle games, and the teams line up on the quadrant of the circle, and they have to run around the circle and pass the baton to the next player, and so on, until the final person gets to the end and the winning person receives the prize. And so when we get into chapter 2, we have Paul. We have Paul, an old man, and he's getting ready to pass the baton, pass it on to his understudy, who was Timothy. And so he, as John pointed out, he pointed out that this was Timothy, and he was his son in the faith. In other words, Paul had led this young man to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then from chapter 14 in Acts, it tells us of how that all kind of worked out. Paul was in the city of, actually three cities, is Lystra, Derbe, and Iconium. And there, they thought, first of all, that Paul was a god because he healed somebody. And then Jewish jealous people came along, and they turned the crowd against Paul. And the mob was gained there. And they took Paul out of the city, and they stoned him, and they left him for dead. So that's what the Apostle Paul faced. And if somebody would just turn, or if you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 14. You have that story that tells of Paul being stoned and him taken up for dead. And the disciples or his followers gathered around him, and Paul got up. And he walked back into the city. But there was a young man there. His name was Timothy. And Timothy observed this happening where Paul was supposedly stoned to death. And the elders that had been ordained in the churches of Iconium, Derbe, and Lystra, saw this young man, and he grew in his faith. He grew as a young man and became strong, and they observed him and watched him, and then in Acts chapter 16, we find that Paul returned to strengthen the churches that had been established there, and in Acts chapter 16, it says, and Paul, he came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but his father was a Greek. And the brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. And so Paul wanted to take him along on his journey with him. And so this young man joined on to the team, and they continued on what was known as Paul's second missionary journey. And so Timothy and Paul, and Timothy and Paul and Silas, and then there was many, many others. But Timothy proved himself to be a faithful man. And in this chapter, later on in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we find the characteristics, or the character qualities, of a faithful man. The first one is a soldier, and a soldier has to be on duty, and he can't leave his post. And to be a faithful soldier, you have to be disciplined, and you have to stay at the post, and you have to be willing to pay the suffering of being a soldier. And you know that soldiers are often out on the hills, and they don't have a house or anything. They are there in the trenches or whatever. And the first characteristic of a faithful man is somebody who stays on duty. The second one is an athlete. And an athlete has to be willing to obey the rules. And we know of our Canadian 4x100 team who competed in the London Olympics. And as they ran their race, they came to the end and they were elated. They won bronze. But in the process, one of the men's toes went over the line. They were disqualified, and so they went from elation to deflation. What a, you know, I can still remember that. And so an athlete has to run according to the rules, and this is our rule book. And so we need to know God's word. And the second, or the third characteristic is that a faithful man has to be hardworking, like a hardworking farmer. Now, all of you that are on the farm know what that means. You work hard, and you plant, you cultivate your land, you seed your seed, and then you wait. And then in the end, you have a crop, right? But you have to wait. So a hardworking farmer has to wait on the crop. And that's another characteristic of faithfulness. We often have to wait. But today we're going to look in at the next three characteristics of faithful men. There's an Awana verse that has been the Awana key verse for many, 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 many years. I probably heard it first in 1962 as I became an Awana leader. It's study. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A, approved. W, workman. A, R, N, not ashamed. And so one of the characteristics of a faithful Christian is that we aren't ashamed. It's because we have studied God's word. We know the captain of our salvation. We know our commanding officer is Jesus Christ. And we can stand when the rest of the world stands against us. So that's the fourth quality of what we're looking at in this chapter today. I'm going to look at, we'll read through that chapter, but I want to give the history of Awana. I've had an opportunity of reaching or meeting these men. It says, the name Awana was taken from the Bible, and it stands for approved workmen are not ashamed. And while the Apostle Paul was in prison, he wrote a letter to his special young friend, Timothy. In 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul encouraged Timothy to study. The word could also be translated to be diligent, to study, to be diligent in the scriptures, and to become an approved workman. Timothy was a faithful Christian, and he lived 2,000 years ago. He had a godly mother and a godly grandmother who trained him to love the Lord, but the person that led him to the Lord was Paul, and that's why he called him his son in the faith. And on the apostles, Paul's second journey, Timothy served as a companion and a helper. He later became a dedicated teacher and preacher of God's word. Now, when we think of what happened yesterday here, there's about 80 dedicated volunteers that came and made this nativity scene such a blessing, right? It's also a refocus. It's a refocus for our community, for our country. The reason we have Christmas is Jesus. And the nativity was a live nativity. There was a real live baby in the manger in Bethlehem. 700 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the prophet Micah said that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. Think of it. Tell me what you're going to be doing 2 weeks from now. Or a week from now. Or maybe even tomorrow. You probably have that figured out. But God said Jesus, his son, would be born in Bethlehem 700 years before he actually was born. And you know what he had to do to have that child born in Bethlehem? There was a Caesar called Caesar Augustus, and he wrote, "I want all the world to be taxed. And I want them to go back to their hometown and to be taxed there." He did that to get one couple from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And that child had two parents. His father was Joseph. He should have been king. He was Joseph, and he was a great-great-grandson of Solomon. So he was in the line of the kings. And his mother was Mary, and she was also from the tribe of David, and she was the son of Nathan. Nathan was David's son. So she was a great-great-great-great-granddaughter. And so they had to be of that kingly line. So when the emperor in Rome, Augustus Caesar, wrote the decree, they went back to Bethlehem. Imagine, some of you women certainly remember what pregnancy is all about. And I don't know if she had a donkey to ride on or if she walked for 90 miles. She probably did have a donkey. But she got there in time to have a baby born. And that baby was Jesus. And from this passage, we learn that Jesus was God and Jesus was totally human. He had to be God to pay for our sins. But he had to be human to be our sacrifice as a human being. So how important is that when we come to this time of year? It's the central focus ought to be on Jesus, the Christ. I'm going to just, let's just read it from this chapter. "You then, my son," and he's talking to him as his spiritual son, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things which you have seen in me, the same to commit to faithful men. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one serves as a soldier. He gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer, and that commanding officer in this case was Jesus Christ. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules." And that's where the Canadian team fell down. They didn't get this past or they didn't complete their journey to the finish line without breaking a rule. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crop. Reflect on this, Paul is saying to Timothy, for the Lord will give you insight. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead. That is a declaration of Jesus' divinity, that he was God. And then it goes on to say, a descendant of David, that tells us that Jesus was a human being, born in the flesh, and was able to be our human sacrifice to bring us eternal life. Then it goes on, and Paul actually quotes an ancient hymn. And if I don't know if you have your Bible, but it says, if we died with him, we will also live with him. There's an oxymoron here. How can you die and then be alive? Well, that's the wonderful part, is Jesus died so that we could live. And then it goes on to say, this hymn goes on to say, if we endure or if we suffer, we will also reign with him. So we may face suffering. In fact, we will face suffering, because I think the next chapter it says that if we live godly in Christ Jesus, we will suffer persecution. The world does not appreciate the things that are written down in this Bible for us to live by. And so when we live differently, they think us oddballs or out of step with what's happening in society. But in reality, we need to keep in step with what God wants us to do. And so we have this ancient hymn. It says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. Jesus will not go back on his word. We may go back on our word, but God and Jesus will not be unfaithful, for he cannot disown himself. And then we go on to that great verse, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed. Has been a great joy of mine and my wife to be involved in Awana. These are the very first Awana clubbers that ever met in Canada. We started a club in Youngstown, and there's 19 girls, and there's my wife's name. She is the leader of the yellow team, Karen Armstrong, and Bernice Blair, and Marguerite Tobin. But it's interesting, just having the opportunity, men and women, to track some of these girls. Patty ended up a teacher at Prairie Bible Institute, not teaching the Bible, but teaching elementary school. Darlene Armstrong went to Briarcrest. She graduated valedictorian of her class, went to the Philippines and was a missionary there for 18 years, and then got married to a Filipino dentist. And they live in Detroit, Michigan, and they started their family about when she was 40, I think, and they didn't waste any time. I think they got about four kids, I believe. Anyway, that's two of the those on this board. And I can tell you some more of the history. So invest. We're looking for faithful men and women. And just as you invested in yesterday, keep on investing. The only thing that we can really take out of this life is people is our kids. Is our kids. That's a solemn thought, isn't it? And yet, let's invest, because God is also very involved and investing in our children. 2 Peter 3:9 says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God would open up heaven to every person in planet Earth, that just the 8 billion people that are here, that it was on the news the other day that the world has hit the 8 billion mark. There's room for 8 billion people, and God is not willing that one of them perish. So who's willing? Are we willing to turn our back on God? Jesus, before he went to the cross, he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And so it is through Jesus, and we know the way. We know he is the truth and the life. And so let's continue. Believe God that he wants our children. They may be, I have grown-up children. I want to be with them forever. But Jesus, more than me, wants them to be with him forever. So let's pass the baton. And I want to read the commendation of Timothy from the Apostle Paul. You will find it in your Bible. It's in Philippians. See, the Apostle Paul spent 2 terms in jail, and each time he told people not to be ashamed of him. He wasn't there because he was a criminal. He was there for the preaching of the gospel. And in Philippians chapter 2, it says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also, remember he's sitting in jail, and he thinks he's going to get out, and he did, but the next time he didn't. It says, I have no one else like him. He's a faithful person. He meets all of those character traits of a faithful man. He says, I have nobody else like him who takes genuine interest in your affairs. For everybody looks out for his own interests and not of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself. This is Paul's commendation of this faithful man. He has proved himself because as a son with his father, with his spiritual father, Paul, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. He saw Paul laying there, looked like he was dead, get up from the ground and go into the city. What do you think Paul looked like? Don't you think he was all bruised up, his face torn and bleeding? He went into the city, and he went on, and then later on he came back, picked this young man up. Persecution will not stop your kids from becoming followers and missionaries and soldiers and students of the word. That's what we need to hold out for our kids. And I think our time is pretty much gone, but I remember writing out this hymn. It asked the question, am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb, and shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? And then, of course, I couldn't find it. It wasn't in my song book, but it. Then the second verse is, "Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas?" That's our challenge. The character sketches of a faithful man is a soldier on duty, an athlete who runs according to the rules, a hardworking farmer who reaps the fruit, a workman who is not in need of being ashamed because he knows God's word. And then there's the servant in a great house. It says, in a great house there are both vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. There's the gold and your silverware that is on display. And then out back, maybe there's a slop pail. That would be a vessel of dishonor. And even after that silverware has been used, it has to go into the kitchen and be washed and come back out and be put on display. We, as God's vessels, sometimes need to take a spiritual bath, and then so that we can be honorable vessels for His glory. But in being an honorable vessel in that great house of God's, we all want to be there. And if you want to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, this is not salvation, this is our works. For we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account to Him, our commanding officer, of what kind of life we've lived and how we've worked, whether our works qualify as gold and silver or wood, hay and stubble. And someday, just as we award awards in Awana, faithful men and women will be awarded for their faithful service to their commanding officer, Jesus Christ. And how do I know that? 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 tells us. It says, Paul is giving his last will and testimony to Timothy to be faithful. And he says in verse 7, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is stored up for me a crown of righteousness." That's a reward. A crown of righteousness. "Which the Lord," He's not now the Savior, He's the Judge. "Which the Lord, the righteous Judge, will award me on that day." That day when we all stand, we take the salute from our commanding officer and give an account. "And not only to me, but also to all who long for His appearing." Do we look for Jesus coming? Oh yeah, we do. So let's just close in prayer. But maybe you never have ever put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. He's really the only way out of this life alive. He's our only ticket to life coming out of this life. And that's wonderful. Just one way. It says, "I am the way." So let's pray. Lord, I pray, as we looked into this amazing chapter, and we think of Awana and the the men that set up a program to reach boys and girls in the ghettos of Chicago, Lance Latham and Art Rorem, and that ministry has gone viral. There are Awana clubs in maybe 200 countries of the world. And Lord, we thank you that you are such a faithful God, saving precious souls. Pray, Lord, that you would do that today, that you would speak to our hearts, and Lord, that we would come before you and take the salute and look forward to hearing, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. May that be our desire to please you. In Jesus' name, amen.